Easter Seminar, Campus, 2004, The Illuminated Christ in All. Lecture 4, Where Does This Fit into Eternity? It's a good thing for us to think about that, where it fits into eternity, because we have come to the realization that eternity doesn't exist. However, we live on a multidimensional plane here, in which we live on perhaps an infinite number of dimensions. And every dimension that we live on, we like to call another time. We like to give it the concept of being in another plane of reference, in another plane of time. And of course, it is not another plane of time or another reference. It is the now. Every time we have a deja vu experience, we think that it is on another plane of reference or another time, but it is not. If you choose, and you do choose quite often, and in fact you are doing it right now, but if you choose to remember, if you choose to be alert to the fact, you can be alert to the fact that you were present for the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. You were there, really. You are there. It is here, Jesus' ministry. Now, the big situation that comes into our mind is, why was Jesus' ministry written 50 years after he had made his resurrection? Why did they wait so long to write about it? Well, they didn't. They wrote about it in the now. Everyone is not interested in doing things at the time that things happen, if I want to say time. So Ellen is here in the monastery, and Ellen loves the monastery. Now, Ellen has not written the story of her life in the monastery. She will. And when she does, she'll be writing it in the now. She'll be writing it in the first-person present tense positive, and it'll be a beautiful episode. Except that if Ellen wants to really enjoy it, she can live in the now, in the dimension on which the episode already stands completed and finished, and she can read the episode of what she has written, or what she writes about the now, on this other dimension. And it'll be complete. And then she'll say, pretty good. Or she might even amend it, because everything is in the now. And whatever thoughts come to her mind are in the now. Now, Ingeborg is a very excellent writer. And Ingeborg has written some very beautiful and some very exquisitely deep things. But Ingeborg has not been challenged by herself to write more. Now, when Ingeborg writes more, what's going to happen? She's going to find that she is a most remarkable writer. She'll find that she and Sylvia both are exquisite writers. But Ingeborg hasn't done much of it, so therefore she hasn't proven to herself that she's good. Well, now, what does that have to do in the now? Well, Ingeborg, think my completed work. Think my completed work, the completed work of Ingeborg. My symphony, Ingeborg. Yeah. Think your completed symphony. And think of the moment that you played your completed symphony, like in the movie the other night. He was 60 years old at the time he played his completed symphony, which he wrote when he was about 22, 23 years old. Remember? He had it almost complete. And it was an expression of his imagination and his genius. But he didn't play it for how many years? It was like 50 years later. Yeah? 40, 50 years later. And why is it that we wait so long to enjoy who we are when all time is now? And you can move on any dimension you want to experience the now on any dimension, at any, if you will, time that exists on these dimensions. And no time exists on the dimensions. So Where does this fit into eternity? We transcribe or translate the word eternity into universal dimensions. The universal dimensions are what we experience on all time and all space. It is what we experience and know in a very beautiful and a very positive and a very wonderful way. Now, it is fantastic, isn't it? It's fantastic. But are we ready for that? Are we ready to know that? Are you ready to see what you have done on some other dimension? If you are, one of the best ways to start doing it is in your dreams. And in your dreams, you can experience all these dimensions at any time you want. But then, what is it you have to tell yourself? Does anyone know?
I remember my dream.
And it works. It may not work the first time. You got to prime the pump a little bit, saying, I remember my dream. And then you will remember your dream. Your dream will be a beautiful, fulfilled, exciting adventure of what it is that you're doing on a dimension of time and space at the very instant that you are doing it. Now, this is a an indescribable concept, but I'll work at describing it. Ingeborg is 1 year old. That's a dimension of time and space. Ingeborg is 2 years old. Ingeborg is 7 years old. Each are dimensions. Ingeborg is 18. Ingeborg is 30. Ingeborg is 80. Ingeborg is 190. Ingeborg is 3,000 years old. Ingeborg is 1 million years old. Now, Ingeborg, wouldn't it be interesting to see what you're doing at the age of 1 million years? It'd be kind of fascinating, wouldn't it? You're damn good, that's for sure. And wouldn't it be fascinating? But the thing is, you are doing that right now on this other dimension. There is no other time. The 3,000 years from now, the 30,000 years from now, the 1 year from back or forward, they all are in the now. And you're like reaching into your bookcase and pulling out a book, which is the dimension of time and space, which is what you are experiencing. Understand? Now, this is what eternity is. That's a good definition for it, too. Eternity is the bookcase of our existence. How about that? Eternity is the bookcase of our existence, of our dimensions of life. And it's not our, what do we say, the other thing. It's not reincarnation. Because reincarnation means you are born again. And you're not born again. You see, you may think that you are aware of yourself living in another incarnation. But all you are is you are aware of yourself living in a dimension. And there is no being reborn again. There is no incarnation. You are not incarnating. You cannot incarnate because there is no time in which to incarnate. There is no time in which to have different life experiences. And the resurrection and the joy and confusion that it has in the Bible is that the resurrection talks primarily about the Hebrew aspect that if you die and you are reborn, if you die and you reincarnate or you are resurrected, and they mean resurrected, that your same body is back and you're, and then you get the same wife again. It's all from the male point of view. You get the same wife again. You got to live with that same wife. And if you've had any previous wives after she died, then you got to live with them too. And if you have and your kids, you got to live with them, you see? And now, here's an interesting thing. If that is true, if the resurrection is true, and you are, let's say, 200 years old, where are your children going to be? Where are your wives going to be that you had? They're going to be 6 feet under, more or less. Or maybe in Ashland. But the thing is, where are they going to be? They are not going to exist anymore. You would not have, you see, this is the games that they played with their philosophical concepts. That look up the word resurrection in the Bible, and you'll find at least 30 references to it, three in each of the Gospels, and then a few more in the other books of the Bible. And they're fascinating. They all say the same thing. They say, your wives, and you're going to, you cannot remarry, because if you remarry and then you're resurrected, you're going to have the old wife back, and the new wives are out of the picture. Well, now, isn't that fascinating? Isn't that? But in a time that was once thought to be very, very important. Now, let's dwell for a minute on this. In Hebrew culture and history, the Hebrews lived hundreds of years, and they lived a very short time, 20, 30 years. The average lifespan at the time of Jesus' birth was 30 years. And that he lived to 33 was considered quite long. Of course, he died from the crucifixion, but then he was reborn in an eternal body, as far as they were considered. He was not resurrected in the resurrected body. He was, what would you say, resurrected in the new body. I'm sorry?
I thought in awareness.
In awareness, of course, in awareness. But it's also in the body. It's also in the physical body. Now, in the history of the Hebrew teachings, people came and went. And people who thought were dead came back from being out with the sheep. They'd been out with the flocks and the herds for, and they got lost in the storm, and they were, you know, off in some distant lands, and then 20 years later they come back home and they say, where's my wife, you know, where's my family? And they say they were resurrected, you know, resurrected, and really they'd just been off having fun somewhere else. And but study these things, learn these things if it pleases you. I find it not really very necessary, but if it pleases you and gives you some facts to work on, do so. But you'll find that the more you study these things, the less important they become, because we do live eternally right now. We do live immortally right now. We do not die. We live on many dimensions of life, and that's our illumined Christ in us. The illumined Christ. Esther, what is the illumined Christ? What's another word for it that you might think of? Another word for the illumined Christ. What would you call the illumined Christ, your soul? Many people would call the illumined Christ your soul. And what is your soul? Your soul is that connection you have between your physical self and your divine self. That's your soul. And so many people call the illumined Christ your soul. Many people talk about the soul as being a very special device that it dwells in man as a connectivity between man and his spiritual reality. And so this is something for us to think about, something for us to be aware of, that our soul is a very precious and a very wonderful thing. Now, the illumined Christ in us is always the same. The illumined Christ in us is always the same. Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but it shouldn't. On every dimension that you exist, on every dimension that you exist, you are you. You have your own name, you have your own body, you have your own reality. Now, your body may look somewhat differently because you treat it differently. Your name will be the same, but you may pronounce it differently, but it'll be the same. All of the aspects of your name are to be filled out in your lifetime. Your name is your guidance to this livingness. Your name is your guidance as to who you are and what you are and what you do and what your values are and what your direction in life is. A lot of people discount their name, and they want to throw away their name, and they want to be released of the burden that they feel their name is. And the only reason that they want to be released of the burden that they feel their name is they haven't met me. Once anyone meets me and I talk to them about their name, they hear their name and see their name in an entirely different light. Because I intuitively talk to them about their name and tell them what their name really means. And their name may be a terrible name, like thunder and murder and lightning and other things that might be terrible, you know. And I explain to them what that name really means and how that name is a very positive, dynamic name. Now, this is something for us all to consider and be aware of. We are aware of the fact that we live one lifetime. And the one lifetime may be on an infinite number of dimensions. And we may have age, if you will. We may have periods of time which are illusions on each life, on each dimension. And some dimensions we may live a million years. Some dimensions we may live 10 minutes. Some dimensions we may live hours or years. But it is all immaterial. The moment we learn the lesson of what we are to do on any dimension, we are timeless. What are we to do on any dimension? We are to be ourselves and have fun. When a little child is being himself and having fun, does he have time? It's timeless. When you are watching a little child having fun, is there time?
No.
Oh, my gosh, it's after 8 o'clock. I didn't realize it, you know. And because it's late, it's late, you know. And you take on that awareness of the child, and you want to keep that all of your life. That timelessness, that living in the now, living in the allness in the now. It's a great and a wonderful experience. And when we train ourselves to do that, we come into who the Illumined Christ really is. The Illumined Christ is our spiritual relationship to our divinity. You say, well, I said the soul was our spiritual relationship with our divinity. That's true too. That's true too. The soul, our spirit, our illumined Christ, they're all the same words. They're all the same words. They all say the same thing. They all refer to the relationship between the allness and the appearance or the illusion that we have at the moment. Now, many a little child has done some very spectacular things, and many an adult has done some very spectacular things, even late in their life, you might say. And some adults just do spectacular things all of their life. Now, will any of you put your foot in your mouth far enough to tell me what it is that an adult does to be spectacular all of his life? Ellen coughed to get out of that, and the rest of you are, what you do to be spectacular all of your life is to be yourself and have fun. The little children, they are themselves and they have fun. They don't know who themselves are. They do what comes naturally. They do what comes beautifully. And adults who do what comes beautifully are very innocent and very lovely, very charming people to be with. And this is, when you would say to God, God, heal my broken leg. And God would say to you, what do you mean, heal? Well, I would like my leg whole and perfect. Oh, you named it a broken leg. So therefore, I thought the broken leg was making you happy. But if the broken leg is not making you happy, don't empower it. Say, my leg is whole and perfect. Okay, my leg is whole and perfect. Zonk! Your leg is whole and perfect. You see, when you get your intunements in order, when you get your illuminations in order, when you get your illusions out of the way by paying attention to the reality, then the reality is your experience. Now, what do you want to experience? What sort of an experience would you like to have in your life? What sort of a life would you like to have? Would you like to have a life filled with drama and music and magic and all sorts of things? Or do you want a drama filled, you want a life filled with celestial music?
Yeah, sure you do.
Uh-huh. You're like Donald Simoda. Shut it off, he said to the celestial music. No, you say more and more because you don't hear it. Now, Ellen, are you in charge of whatever music comes into your heart?
Sure.
Okay. Can you have celestial music in your heart right now? Do you have celestial music in your heart right now? What does it sound like?
Happy and mild and gentle.
No symphonic orchestras playing the Bachian fugues and so forth, then.
Not Bach, no.
Not Bach. See, right away, she has a limit. Now, Ellen, did you hear this music teacher on this video the other night? He played some Bach, didn't he?
Yes.
And was that Bach beautiful?
Yes.
Was that Bach beautiful?
Yes.
Then don't knock Bach.
No, I do not.
No, don't fight it. No, don't knock Bach. You said, but not Bach. And you see, what you mean is, you want something light and lyrical, and you would take anything Bach has written that's light and lyrical. And you want light and lyrical music for anything you do. Now, you see, empower it. Don't empower Bach's great fugues that just blast you out of your seat. Huh?
I like it too.
Oh, you do? See, now she likes that too. My gosh, you can't tell about this woman. Yeah. We must teach her how to play an instrument. I think she'd be quite good at it. Yeah. Now, all of this is but one phase of the infinite program that you are. Now, is it possible for you to be aware of what you're doing on another dimension right at this moment, while you're wide awake? And what is it you're doing on another dimension right now? Say it.
I'm flying through the universe.
Ellen?
Yeah.
You don't fly through the universe. You fly. Or you fly in the sky. But you don't fly through the universe. Because there is no universe. You see, you are flying through the boundary domain. You are flying through the bounded extents of the universe, and you don't want to do that.
I'm flying through the nothingness and allness.
Well, now, if you're flying through the nothingness, super. If you're flying through the allness, super. But the thing is, can you understand? Anytime you put a parameter, a boundary on anything, you immediately make it an illusion, and you make yourself confusion. So be very careful how you think about these things, because you want to be unlimited in every way. Now, am I brainwashing you into anything?
You're guiding me or reminding me who I am. And other
Ellen, the answer is yes or no. Am I brainwashing you in anything?
No.
Am I awakening you in anything?
Yeah.
Thank you. So now, you see, be very careful when people say they were brainwashed or they're being brainwashed by any idea, because they're being awakened, perhaps, but not brainwashed. Because you cannot, as the term goes, be brainwashed. That means you cannot have somebody else put their cultural melee in your mind and have it become you. Now, in hypnosis, this is a temporary situation, and that sometimes can happen. And that's why I always recommend that you become cautious of hypnosis. Mm-hmm. I don't say you shouldn't use it, or I don't say it's bad. Mm-hmm. I just say be aware of what you allow to be put into your consciousness. Mm-hmm. Now, a new fad is coming into the mental health movement, and that new fad is called electric shock treatment. You say, well, Herb, they had electric shock treatments back in the 20s and 30s. What are you talking about, a new fad? Well, they have just figured out that it does do some good for people. And so now they're going to authorize its use in hospitals. And I think that's a very sad thing that they're doing. Because when they use electric shock treatments, they don't know how much they're shaking up your marbles and which marbles they're shaking up and whether the marbles they're shaking up are the ones you want to have shaken up. The right ones, right. Because they know so little about what the brain is and does. They know so little about how to dig in to the activity of the brain. You see, the brain is not the mind. The mind is the infinite allness. The brain is the vehicle through which your body receives the information from the mind and applies it in your work. The brain is not your reality. The brain is merely a vehicle to work with you. Now, there are a lot of people who say the brain is your mind, but that's not true, because the brain does not think. The brain carries out whatever the mind tells it to do. And it's important for us to learn how to feed our brain the type of things we want to feed it to have it carry out for us. So what do we say? We say that I am whole and perfect. We are brainwashing ourselves with the concept that we're whole and perfect. We're not really brainwashing ourselves, but we use that term. We are training ourselves to realize that we're whole and perfect. When we train ourselves to realize we're whole and perfect, pretty soon the brain will take that as an ipso facto concept that is enforced for us. And when the brain takes that as a fact that is enforced for us, it will act upon it, and we will live in what? We will live in our whole and perfect body. But we will not live in our whole and perfect body when the brain has several countermanded activities at one time. You're not good. You're not nice. You're not whole and perfect. You've got problems. You see? Whenever the brain gets this image, we have that problem. Now, I told you of the fire, and I told you of the old man who was sitting in his wheelchair for 30-plus years, and he was tending his grandchild. And the house got on fire. And the only way to get his grandchild out of the house was to pick him up and carry him out. So this man, who had not left his wheelchair for that many years or more, and got up, walked over to his grandchild in perfect confidence, picked him up and carried him outside the house. The neighbors came up and said, "Hey, how'd you get out of there?" And then they said, "Where's your wheelchair?" And at that moment he collapsed, because he had forgotten that he needed his wheelchair to walk. Now, how could he have walked all that distance so confidently, so wonderfully, without being damaged in any way, without his wheelchair or without his crutches? How could he have done it? He did it because he walked in his spiritual body. He walked in his energy body. You can cut a finger off, and the Carillion photography will record that your finger, the energy finger, is still there. And is the energy finger really your real self? Yes, it is. Your energy body is your real self. Your physical body, it comes and goes. It wears out. But your energy body never wears out. Your energy body always remains pure and perfect and whole and wonderful. Okay. Now, what is it that we want to do? What is it that we would like to experience, and with the Christ consciousness, What would we like to live our life as? Would we like to go around healing people, making them whole and perfect? Would we like to go around feeding the sick and the poor, giving them food to eat? You didn't shake your head so quick on that one. Would we like to go around helping people who are in need of help? Would we like to go around being nice to people who are not nice to others? Would we like to go around and make the world a little better by our presence? No. We don't want to do that. Because the minute we do that, do you know what happens? The minute we do that, then we are recognizing the world is not perfect. We are recognizing there's a need for help in the world. And you say, well, Herb, we can't ignore the poor. We can't. No, we don't ignore them. You start seeing everyone on earth independently wealthy. You start seeing everyone on earth living in their ideal spirit, mind, and body. You start seeing everyone on earth harmonious with themselves and with everyone in their world, and on to all the other avenues that we speak to. Now, there are people, and there are many of them, who will say, you got to get out there and do something, you know. That speaking your word is not enough. You can't eat your word. You ever hear that? Yeah, sure, you can talk your word, but you can't eat your word, you know. And what are they saying? They are saying they don't believe in the power of the word. And yet they're using the word to describe the power they don't believe in. That's interesting, too. Well, stop and think about these things. Where is our ability to be a divine being? Is our ability to be a divine being in the physical body, or is our ability to be a divine being in our spiritual body? Is our ability to speak our word in the physical body, or is our ability to speak our word in the divine body? Well, obviously, our ability to speak our word is in our divine body. Now, what is your divine body? What is your divine reality? Your divine reality is a recognition that you are all. That you are all. And that everything you are is good and very good. That's the divine recognition. And how do you tune in, turn up, involve yourself with that divine recognition? It's a good question, isn't it? How do you involve yourself with that divine recognition? You involve yourself with that divine recognition by just speaking your word. Because the divine is in you. You don't have to go anyplace to it. And all you have to do is speak to yourself and say, I am whole and perfect. I am surrounded by people who are whole and perfect. I create everyone in my world whole and perfect. I create all of the circumstances in my world salubrious, happy, harmonious, joyful. I create all the experiences in my world wonderful and uplifting, with enthusiasm, with power, with force. And say these things and watch them happen in your life. They are really exciting. They're who you really are. They're who I really am. And I tell you, it's pretty wonderful. Pretty wonderful. Now, think about it. Where do you go from here? From here, you'll be living your lives. You won't have this voice droning away at you, sharing this philosophy with you. You will be living your life. You go out into the world. You go to the store. You go to the market. You go to meetings with other people. And I'm not droning away in your head, but you are. And as you deal with these people, what you say is, I am surrounded by the pure, I am the pure white light of love. I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. You understand? You definitely put the cause in motion for you. You put the cause in your consciousness, and you keep putting it in your consciousness until you believe that and know that and live that. And when you believe it and you know it and you live it, it's fantastic. There's nothing that can stop you. Not that anything would want to. Everything is there to support and export, to support what words am I trying to use here? Everything's there to support you and to encourage you and to love you and to give you the power to do it. But it is you that has to do it. It is you. And any time you speak unkindly of yourself, you should be shot. Any time you speak unkindly of who you really are, you're speaking blasphemy. You're saying to the divine in you that it is not great. Speak it, love it, enjoy it, know it, be it. And the same goes for any of your creation. Now in the movie, this music teacher was not interested in getting this kid on the band who couldn't play anything and just wanted to get through school. The coach knew that this kid had only one great talent, and that was in football. He wasn't very bright, but he wasn't stupid. And the coach said, let's get this kid on your band so that he can prove to the school that he has some value. Well, the coach said, what do you want to play? And they tried everything, and the kid was not good. And then they put him on drums. Well, now, he's a black boy. Now, every black child has music in his soul. Now, this guy didn't. This guy didn't. He may have had it. He may have found it later. But he didn't have it. He was good at the mathematics of shooting baskets and playing ball, but he was not good at the mathematics of music. But the teacher encouraged him to realize that the two are the same. And because the two are the same, he would have him dancing just like he would as he was shooting a basket. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Move these feet this way, move these feet that way. And he taught this kid who had nothing, but who was really a fine boy, but he had nothing to endorse him to do anything except to be a sportsman. But this music teacher knew that music is mathematics and sports are mathematics. All these things are pure mathematics. And he taught this kid how to dance, how to move, and how to play the drum. And how to play the drum by listening to the mathematical music of the other musicians as they would go, do-do-do-do-do-do-bum-bum, do-do-do-do-do-bum-bum, do-do-do-do-do-bum-bum. You see, and it was simple, simple, simple. Well, the boy went on to become great. He went on to become wonderful because this music teacher took the time with him. And one little girl came into class, and everyone in her family, including her mother, were exquisite musicians. But she couldn't quite blow a horn. And so what did he do with her? He didn't stop her from blowing the horn. He just said, think of it differently. Think of having fun playing the horn. Think of having whatever tone comes out, whatever music comes out, it's fun. And then he taught her, the three chords, the three notes. And she played the three notes. And then playing the three notes, she could improvise from that and move back and forth. But always the three notes were giving her a solid foundation. And what happened to her? What happened to her? She had pride and she had the ability to believe in herself. And she went on to become the governor of the state. Amazing. But you see, he took time. And then there was another boy who was very braggadocio. And he says, all I know how to do is to do sports. And he was a very nauseous youngster. But this guy said, look, you're so close to being expelled. Now pay attention to what I'm telling you. He had to use that the threat at him. But the guy got the message. And what happened? Because the music teacher took time to be with that kid, really quality time, that kid turned out to be one of the most wonderful kids and came back for this special affair with great appreciation and enthusiasm. You see, we have within us a great ability, but the great ability has to be said da-da-da-da, 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 until we learn da-da-da-da, 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 and then we improvise out da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You come back to the basics, to the foundation. And when you have that foundation, which is what you put in your brain by saying, I like me, you put in your brain by saying, I'm whole and perfect, you put in your brain by saying, I am that I am. And Esther, listen to me. When we are at supper, remind me to give you some affirmations. Got it? Okay. I have a bag of affirmations that I've used in seminars, and I've had extras made always, and so they're just going to waste in the bag, and you might as well have a copy of each one. You know, there's lots of copies there. And then make them yours too. Okay? Okay, you're welcome. I noticed you were, excuse me?
She too has about 5 points.
Yeah, well, share them. Whenever people come here, go to your weasel sack of affirmations and bring out three or four different ones, you know, and give them to the people. Because they might like them, they might not. If they throw them away, fine. At least they were exposed to them for a moment. And if they keep them and use them, all the better. But you see, what that is doing, it is taking these beautiful, magnificent ideas and putting them in your consciousness, making them yours. Now, what do you say when you have a hurt in your body? Give me an affirmation right away. What do you say when you have a hurt in your body?
I'm whole and perfect.
Thank you very much, Miss Know-It-All. She is the student. You should know it. All right, what do you say when you want to be wealthy? What do you say when you have stocks and bonds?
All of my investments are at high return.
And stable.
And stable.
All of my investments are high return. See, she didn't memorize that one, see? She didn't memorize that one. And you got to really work on these things, because if you're giving a lecture, and you got a bunch of brokers out there, and you say, all of my investments are, you know, you have to know these things. Make them yours so that they trip off your tongue, just as though you had been speaking them a moment before. And that's what you want to do. Trip it off your tongue, just as, see, did you hear me talking to several people on the phone? Yes, you did. You heard me talking to people on the telephone. And you heard me talking to them about their problems, right? And what did I say? Did I say anything about their problems?
No.
All I spoke about was the solution they wanted and how the solution could be put into motion. And I had to be on top of every solution for them. Of course, I wrote the book, so that's not too great a problem. But you can write the book too. There's no reason why you can't. Now, be a master of yourself under all circumstances. And when you're asked a question, say what it is or wing it. Come up with something that makes sense to you, you know. Now, what would you say to a stockbroker, Ingeborg?
All my investments are of high return and stable.
All my investments are high return and stable. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right, Ellen?
Of course.
Is that right?
Sure.
Is that right?
Yes.
Then why are you so reluctant in saying yes? Say it instantly. Is that right?
Yes.
You see, we want to have these beautiful affirmations as our tools to have in our consciousness to speak our word whenever the need comes to ourselves for that awareness. And when a little child is going to run out in the road, do you scream at the child, Johnny, get back here?
All is in divine order.
And then you say, Johnny, get back here. Right? Right?
When that all is in divine order mix, it's already happening.
Do you think she has the courage to just say all is in divine order? You see, that's nice, Ellen, that you say that. And that is, that's the principle. But are you really aware of using the principle by itself and believing in it and believing that it works? That's a big test. That's a big test. To believe in the principle and to believe that it works. You see, they say, so many metaphysicians, they say you have to pray to God and put your overalls on. Put on your work clothes. Pray to God and get out there and get your hands in the dirt and work at it. That's what they say. Now, why do they say that? Because they don't believe in God. They don't believe that the divine will do the job. Now, are you strong enough? You know, who is it, Seventh-day Adventist or somebody? They do not believe in doctors. I don't. No. Somebody else. Or they don't believe in doctors, and they don't take their kid to a doctor when the kid is very sick and so forth. And they speak their word that the kid is whole and perfect, and that's their spiritual belief. Okay? Now, sometimes the kid dies. What does that do to their spiritual belief?
They didn't believe.
Now, I didn't say that. What does that do to their spiritual belief? What does that do to their conviction? No. Don't be so hasty. What does that do to their conviction? They say, we still believe, but we didn't believe strong enough. We still believe, but we didn't believe strong. Because they believe, or else they wouldn't have gone that far. And they're wise. Now, it's tough on the child, but they should be teaching this to the child too, right away from the very beginning. What is it that they should be teaching to the child? I'm sorry?
To believe in the principle.
To believe in the principle. No, no. The child doesn't believe in a principle. The what they teach the child is, hey, you're whole and perfect. You're always whole and perfect. Your body is whole and perfect. And that's the principle. It's true. But you've got to wrap it in words that they can say for themselves, you know? So, yes, the principle is what we're doing. But the principle has to be down to earth so that you can accept it and claim it and enjoy it. That's a very powerful thing. Now, can you accept it and claim it and enjoy it?
Yes.
Under all circumstances?
Yes.
Okay. Then, Ellen? Mm-hmm. How is that little golf cart down there?
More than perfect.
Call it up here. What?
And you said to bring it here?
I said call it up here. Hey, golf cart, come on up here.
Come up here. Come, golf cart.
You think it would come?
It would.
It would.
It is good. It is good.
That's the answer. That's the answer. It is here. Now, you see, you're getting a lot more on this trip here than you think. And just hang in there, because you're doing great. You're doing just great. Now, tomorrow, Sylvia's going to take a pause, and she's going to give you a driver training lesson. Okay? Yeah. She's going to take in half an hour, and she's going to take you out, and she's going to give you a driver training. But what you're going to do is say, it's already here.
Ich habe schon daran gedacht, dass sie mir eine Stunde gibt, heute Nachmittag.
My goodness gracious sakes. My goodness gracious sakes. And you weren't at all surprised, were you? Kind of a Russian, huh? You knew that it was coming. You spoke your word. So, it is not a surprise. Kind of a Russian, yeah? Why are you looking so skeptical?
No, I'm not skeptical.
You look like you're... Okay, you've been long surprised. Now, during our program today, we have discussed the illuminated Christ in all. We have discussed what is expected of us. And we have discussed what will happen to creation. And we are concluding here with, where does this fit in eternity? This is eternity. This is the three-letter word.
Now.
Now. Eternity is now. Once we have that concept in our consciousness, we got everything. We're totally in charge. We're totally responsible. We're totally happy. Are you happy?
Yeah, very happy.
Yes. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have yourself a lovely evening.
Thank you.
And a wonderful dinner. And just remember that whatever you put in your mind is going to come out in your experience. And so put in your mind that you are independently wealthy, you live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, and so vita. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. I love you. I love you. I love you.